Welcome to NARAL's The Morning After. Each Thursday, our podcast brings you the latest on reproductive health care, progressive politics, and the fight to keep abortion safe and legal. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pro-Choice OH. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Jamie.
I'm Randy.
I'm Gabe. So Democratic debate tonight. Who's watching?
Yay!
So much excitement.
Are we done yet?
Like, really?
We at least started.
Yeah. The voting has started.
Well, kind of. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really voting in Iowa.
The it's caucus indoor voting.
Yes.
You know, Trump started off by claiming that that Ted Cruz stole Iowa.
Oh, my goodness.
He cheated, and that they should do it over again. I'm like,
he said they should do it over again?
Yeah. He said that, no, that they need to do a do-over.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, doing over an election is not possible, but okay. You can kind of picture how that works. The caucus where you get together a bunch of people and they all stand in quarters in the gym.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
I just had a little video on Facebook of like gummy bears showing people like this is what a caucus. It was like this is what a caucus is, but with gummy bears. But it was still interesting. But I watched it on TV, and like you said, it's just like people standing in a gym.
Did you
like,
see the girl little... drop the F bomb on MSNBC?
Oh no,
I missed that one.
Oh, that was good.
I wish I would have seen that. I've been watching so much of it. I'm surprised I missed. It.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, they had like the little cluster. And you know, they had the reporter in the gym and he's like, we're gonna listen into what they're saying. And so they literally like shoved the camera into this cluster. And so it's this Bernie supporter and he's trying to talk about tax policy and he's doing a, you know, not perfect, but good enough job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what do you expect for somebody in the middle of Iowa in the gym. And so this young woman across the cluster from him starts talking about how she's just totally disgusted by the way the VA is run, and she's a veteran, and her mom is a veteran, and you know they haven't gotten their benefits for months and are just furious about the way this is being run.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's totally fucked up. And the entire group is like, that's on camera. And they immediately cut back to the guy in the middle of the floor, and he's like, I'd like to apologize. And then they cut to Rachel Maddow and Brian Williams, and they're both like, we apologize. It's like, well.
That is hilarious.
You wanted an honest conversation, and especially the VA, which is known for having so many problems for years.
I mean, there really is no other way to describe what's happening in the VA other than it's completely fucked up.
Like, yeah, it is.
There's no like lesser word that really encompasses how true stuff it is.
I'm like, oh yeah, VA benefits.
Yeah,
that's an accurate description.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was really crazy. I thought it was really also really crazy. In some of them, they got to the point where I guess because it was so close, they were too close to call. They were flipping coins to see who was going to win. I'm like, why are we?
Because it was an exact tie. How else would you do it? I mean, when you've got 50 Bernie supporters and 50 Clinton supporters and. Two O'Malley supporters that aren't going to move, then...
Why are we putting so much weight on these caucuses? But I guess they ask that every 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. In because a state where there's more pigs than people.
Iowa is not representative of the rest of the United States at all.
But the coin flip got really blown out of proportion because the coin flip was to decide, like, one delegate.
Oh, okay.
Of like 700, not like one of the 40. It was like one of the like.
Right. So counts. That's going to be one out of 700 in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
Nationwide, once the Democratic National Convention happens, it's like 7,000 delegates. So, okay. One of them got decided by the flip of a coin. Mm-hmm. And that was the other thing, you know, the county delegates came down like, you know, 49.9, 49.6. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a virtual tie.
Yeah.
Hillary took all the superdelegates. Because those are all
two.
The people.
I think two were still in command. But
okay. But those are all the people who are like party faithful who are going to nominate the Democrat running for the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're probably labor leaders.
Mm-hmm.
you know, these are people that Sanders is never going to win over unless he somehow pulls out, you know, he's using the term revolution. If he can honestly come up with a revolution, he'll start to win superdelegates. But Hillary's going to crush all of these. Mm-hmm. And that's going to decide the race.
Yeah.
So
it's very interesting. They were talking about the gap as far as age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was very... As someone who used an analogy, I thought it was so perfect and funny. It was Joy Reid, and she was talking about black voters and their split between them, between Hillary and Bernie. And she was like, Bernie is getting black people who listen to Kendrick Lamar. Hillary is getting the black people who listen to the OJs. So like the church moms. I was like, this is such a perfect analogy.
That's very accurate.
I was like, I just thought it was hilarious. I was like, that's such a good analogy, Joy. Thank you. And then where else are we going to hear Kendrick Lamar and the OJs on primetime news?
Right.
Nowhere else.
Right.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to hear what they come up with tonight. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking more and more about Bernie's revolution. And, you know, in terms of the politics that he's promoting, I'm aligned. But if this is a revolution, this is the slowest growing revolution ever. I mean, he's been in Congress for 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
He's the only independent in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your revolution couldn't recruit anybody. you know?
Details.
If there was like 10% of Congress that was independent and they were the revolution coming, I'd be like, okay, there's a group. Yeah. It's just Bernie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, true. You know, he's not taking the big corporate money, probably because they're not offering the big corporate money.
Well, no.
So,
you know, I'll give him a benefit of the doubt that I don't think he would take it. But yeah, at the same time, you don't really have to worry about not taking it if it's not being offered.
Right. Yeah, if you're not part of a party and you're not caucusing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he does align with the Democrats on, you know, some policy stances, but he's never going to lead the charge on legislative initiatives ever as an independent. So.
Yeah. Well, and also it's just that our political system, as much as I would love a revolution.
Yeah.
Our political system is not created for that.
Right.
Like the founding fathers created a system of which it's slow change.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to this ridiculous place where conservative Republicans are going crazy all over the place overnight. This was a slow slog. You know, 20 years ago, one of these guys ran for, you know, city council and worked his way up through this system. You know, this is how, you know.
But you don't feel like they're very different than they were. I feel like they're very different post Obama than they were pre-Obama. It's like
not
some
really,
of the conservatives.
Actually, when you really look through like history, the Tea Partiers are just the religious conservatives of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the next wave of this like conservative group. They're a little bit louder and, of course, way more outwardly racist because there's somebody to be, you know, outwardly racist towards. But I mean, when you really look at what they're talking about and what they're saying and all these things, it's the same stuff that the, you know, new religious coalition, you know, religious conservative people were, Christian coalition people were in the 90s. It's just a different, you know, they tried to say they were all about economics and all about just looking at these economic issues and blah, blah, blah. But they are just as bad on abortion and gay rights and all these other things as as a Christian conservative. So it's a little different, but not really when you really look at where we've been heading for a while. So it's interesting, but
I think they were as racist back then. It's just now they're racist and they tweet.
Yes. Which just allows for a lot more outward racism and, you know, anonymous comments on, you know, newspaper posts and all those things just allow you to be a lot more outwardly ridiculous than.
Yep.
Very true.
So tonight will be Hillary and Bernie. O'Malley has dropped out.
Yep.
On the on the Republican side, Rand, Huckabee, and Santorum have dropped out.
Finally.
I
mean, a couple more.
Like, there's like three or four more that
like
she just
Carly. Who else?
Carson.
Carly, Christy, Jeb. Like, I mean, at the same time, Jeb Bush, they said he spent more money per vote than anyone in the history of the caucus. And he still, got like 3%, 2%?
It was like $2,800 per vote.
Yeah. He spent a lot of money and got nothing out of it.
Like, so he could have handed out, you know, cash on the street and gotten more votes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And the, like, the saddest video I've ever seen on the internet, and this is saying a lot, was him yesterday at his campaign rally because he said something that should have gotten the crowd, woohoo, yay! And, and like, he had to be like, and you can clap now.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, look,
you can't tell the people to clap. They have to clap on their own.
And if you can clap at that, was, I think, the line.
That is so depressing. So I almost feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's really that's really embarrassing.
He should have listened to his mama and not run for president.
He should have. Right. She told him from the get-go, like, we don't need another Bush. And you're not. Yeah, and he's wasted all this money. There was a similar video they showed of Rick Santorum going to one of his events in Iowa, and literally no one showed up. And it's just a video of him sitting down at the counter to order a milkshake, and no one is in the restaurant at all. I'm like, that is just so sad. No one showed up for you. Like... You know, bless your heart. Like, that's just, that's embarrassing. You couldn't get like 5-10 people to show up for you. Yeah.
Well, then you get Carly, Carly Fiorina, who like hijacked some preschoolers. She did a campaign stop at some like arboretum or garden or something where this preschool class was on a field, like daycare class was on a field trip.
Yeah.
And like, so she like hijacked
the 5-year-olds.
Yes. To hijack the 5-year-olds and like brought them all up onto the stage and then gave this, we need to stop killing babies, anti-abortion speech with these 5-year-olds.
There was like a banner of some fetus in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
One of the parents actually was the one who brought this all to the attention of everybody and was like, I did not consent for you to use my child as a backdrop for your anti-abortion rant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Is that like her, like, I feel like that's now like her issue, her thing. I'm going to be the, like, even though they're all anti-abortion, it just feel like she's really one. Like pushing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't know anybody like that in our state.
I know, right? Exactly. Again, they are all like that, but she seems like she's really just way out there.
Right. So also dropped out was Jim Gilmore. Everybody knows what he looks like, right?
I'm thinking of George Pataki.
I have no idea what Jim Gilmore looks like. I couldn't pick him out of a crowd.
Yeah, I think every time I see his picture, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what he looks like.
Oh, I have no clue.
I'm going to Google it later. Yeah. I don't remember.
So, yeah, all of those people need to drop out. You mentioned Chris Christie. He's still in. I know you said that. Him and Kasich are looking forward to having a good showing in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So that's kind
of... They have to, or they... I mean, they don't really have a path, because after that is South Carolina.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and Kasich said if he gets clobbered in North Carolina, he's
New Hampshire. He's gonna leave.
He's out.
No. He's like, stay out there. Like, we don't need you back here. You're in trouble. Like, stay away. Go.
He was like, you know, I'm not gonna drag it out. I'm the governor of Ohio. So you know, he's been doing something great here. Like, yeah, exactly like you said, stay away. We don't need you here.
We don't need you here. Just
no.
He did say that when he says he'd leave if he gets clobbered, he's like, he's counting clobbered as bottom of the barrel, as bad in New Hampshire as he did in Iowa.
Yeah.
If he comes in like fourth or fifth, I think he'll say, oh, this was something. And then
I got momentum.
Yeah. And then he'll stick it out.
Sounds good.
Well,
stay as long as you want.
And then what he'll be sticking it out with is going to South Carolina, probably having just signed a bill to defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, although it's not anywhere on the way, he will leave New Hampshire, come back to Ohio before he goes to South Carolina to sign this ridiculous bill taking HIV funding away from Planned Parenthood and a whole lot of other places. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's... And there was actually a video, and somebody asked him the question at one of his events in New Hampshire last week, and And one of the, and it was obvious that, you know, it was a, you know, kind of Democratic plant. She was not there as a Kasich supporter or whatever. She just asked him the question.
It was a legit question.
It was a very legit question, and it needed to be asked. But the funny part was that, you know, it was in kind of a gaggle with all the other people that were at this small little event in New Hampshire, like all the other ones. And so this little old lady behind him was listening in and heard that, I'm going to defund them. They've been completely discredited and they're awful. And of course I'm going to defund them. And this little old lady behind him was like, "You're going to do what?" She was like, "You're going to sign that?"
Yeah.
And then he was like, "Yes, I am." She's like, "Oh, I'm disappointed."
Oh, it was shock.
Oh, good.
She was like, "Oh, no.
I am so disappointed."
Yeah.
I wish I need to see this video.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Yeah.
I think it's shared on our Facebook page. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we tweeted it. But, I mean, the question from the young woman was pretty direct. And it's will you, you know, sign a bill to defund Planned Parenthood? The little old lady was like, "Oh, no." Just horrified.
Yeah.
Well, and she had obviously come as a Kasich supporter wanting to hear from him because she thinks he's this moderate that everybody keeps talking about.
And right.
No, no, no. So he won't sign the Planned Parenthood defunding bill before. I mean, we even signed, I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, the Senate could have passed the clean bill without changing it, and it could have gotten to Kasich's desk last week. Mm-hmm. But instead of doing that, they earmarked already existing money for infant mortality so that they could say that they did something good, but they didn't. It's not like they added money to infant mortality programs in Ohio.
A whole $250,000. Big
spenders. That was already there, which is just now, like, it's says on a piece of paper somewhere, this has to be used for exactly this versus it's part of the big pot of infant mortality money. Yeah. So no additional funds ever, but they amended it with this stupid amendment. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so it had to go back to the House. The House left before the Senate was done for the day because they didn't want to wait around all afternoon for the bill to come back.
Yeah.
So we couldn't sign it before New Hampshire. So it's pretty damn obvious that, like, he didn't want to sign it before New Hampshire because there's a bunch of little old ladies who thinks he's a moderate in New Hampshire, right, and he's going to get the votes for that.
Exactly.
And, you know, where does he go next? Oh, South Carolina, where there's a bunch of social conservatives that he needs to speak to. So he's going to sign this Planned Parenthood defunding bill and then go to South Carolina and talk about
Planned Parenthood.
So, you know, we're going to hide from our record in New Hampshire because it doesn't help us there, and then we're going to sign this bill just because I want to go to South Carolina and do well.
In this one state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though 65% of Ohioans don't want it defunded. And I saw that the New York Times editorial board, and it was another newspaper, I can't remember the name right now, all were like, "You should veto this." Yeah. Like, "Don't sign this." But of course,
she's going to.
Yeah.
The Plain Dealer and the Akron Beacon Journal both had editorials saying, "Hey, this bill is bad."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's just bad all around because of all the what's the word I want to use, the unintended consequences of it.
Air quoted unintended.
True. But I mean the real unintended ones of like how it's going to affect the Department of Health and hospitals and stuff. Like, and we don't know yet, and like health insurance companies, like, it's really unintended consequences
that
possibly
they just don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
We pointed it out, health departments have pointed it out. There, you know, Faber comes into the gaggle and says, "Well, we don't think that'll happen." Shouldn't you know that's not going to happen before you actually pass a bill into law? It's just, you know.
Yeah. The House could vote no on concurrence, send it back to a committee process.
And figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Figure this out.
Yeah.
Kasich needs it before South Carolina, so we can't do that. So we're going to pass this bill that's going to potentially cut off every health department in the state from getting HIV funding and infant mortality funding. The actual $250,000 that they earmarked may actually not be able to go to anybody because, oh, wait, those people can't get state money anymore. So that's actually how ridiculous that amendment really is.
Right.
So that's next Wednesday.
Yay.
But there's actually a lot of other stuff happening in the State House next week, too. One of which is a good thing. Shocker.
So yay.
Hold on to your seats. That we're going to actually have on Tuesday afternoon the first hearing on House Bill 408, which is the buffer zone anti-clinic harassment bill introduced by Representative Stephanie House from the Cleveland area and Representative Michelle Lepore Hagan from the Youngstown area. That would allow doctors and clinic employees a civil course of action in civil court if they are harassed or intimidated as a part of their job to kind of address the situation that we're seeing in Dayton with that Killers Among Us campaign targeting the backup doctors of the clinic. And then also protecting patients going in with a 15-foot buffer zone such that they cannot be harassed, touched, or, you know, intimidated away from the clinic within 15 feet of the premises of the clinic, which is a totally different zone distance and actual classification of the zone than what the Supreme Court struck down in the Massachusetts case. Mm-hmm. That was a 35-foot buffer zone, and it applied much more broadly. And just to the protesters, this is kind of anybody can't come up to you and interact with you within those 15 feet. So it is a completely different and constitutional version of a buffer zone bill. So, of course, we're going to hear from all the people, you know, all the opponents of it saying, well, this is unconstitutional. Well, not exactly. And it won't stop. I mean, as much as we would love to stop protests outside of abortion clinics, I mean, we live in a country that has the, you know, right to free speech. So, you know, you're still going to be able to, like Dave Dobenmeyer does outside of Planned Parenthood every single day, stand outside the fence and scream horrible, horrible things at the women entering the clinic.
Yeah.
Right. He's just not allowed to get up to right here, Durandy, and scream in her face.
Yeah. Which seems very reasonable.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're not stopping you from speaking. We're stopping you from harassing people.
There's a difference there.
So that'll have its sponsored testimony on Tuesday afternoon in the House Judiciary Committee. So hooray for Rep. House and Rep. Lepore Hagan. And then back to all the bad shit that happens in that building all the time. On Wednesday morning, before the defunding vote in the afternoon, the fetal tissue bills, the trap bills on fetal tissue disposal, are scheduled for a vote out of committee on Wednesday morning in House Health Committee. We will be testifying in opposition to these bills because they are not about regulations and those kind of things. They are what we call trap bills, targeted restrictions on abortion providers.
Yeah.
It's just abortion providers. It has nothing to do with like miscarriage or any of those other kinds of things where you could have the same type of tissue at the end of it. And they're really aimed at closing down clinics. It's not about where the tissue is disposed. It's about restricting access to what way you can dispose of it so that clinics have to close. So we will probably see votes on that. I'm still really confused because the two bills actually conflict with each other. One says that you can use two methods. One says you can use three methods. One requires the woman to actually sign a piece of paper saying how she wants it disposed of. One doesn't. They are in no way, shape, or form complementary to each other. So I have no idea what the committee is going to do with, like, are you going to just pass one? Are you going to pass both of them and let the floor vote decide or the Senate decide? It's a really weird situation where you've got two bills that conflict with each other are passing through the committee at the same time. I don't know if they just haven't realized it yet, which is, I guess, a possibility, but yeah, and we'll see what happens, I guess. Yeah. And that committee is on Wednesday morning, so they could actually pass one or both of those bills out of committee that morning and not only vote to defund Planned Parenthood, but vote on these trap bills as well that afternoon. So session at 1:30 on Wednesday is going to be interesting, I guess.
Huzzah.
More bad shit happening. Of course, unlike the defunding bill, the trap bill will not go directly to the governor because that still has to go through the Senate. So that's just a House vote on that. But the defunding bill will immediately go to Kasich.
Oy vey.
I still just always wonder, like, what do they do there besides pass trap laws? Like, honestly, what are they doing to actually help the state of Ohio? Every time I go there and I sit either on the House side or the Senate side on the bills that they're voting on, I mean, it doesn't really seem that they're passing anything of, and the other bills that they are passing really don't have that much relevance, aren't going to really change things that much. And they put forth nothing on transportation or jobs or fixing the terrible charter schools that we have. Like, what do they do? Like, really? I mean,
they take over the Youngstown schools. They pass horrible budget bills that take money.
It's mostly the budget. I mean, you could be a legislator, show up for the budget season, and then just not show up for the rest of it, and you wouldn't really miss that on too much. and there's a lot of states that have part-time legislatures for just that reason. But for some reason, we keep these guys employed year-round.
They're still actually considered part-time employees, though. Like, it's really funny because
they get full-time benefits.
Did they vote to make themselves full-time? Like, who decided that they should be full-time?
All of their raises, they
All
that stuff.
Yeah.
I think the rule is that you can't give yourself a raise, but you can vote so that the person holding your seat, like, the next legislative session gets a raise.
And if that person happens to be you,
Yeah, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So once upon a time, they voted that the next class would get these certain benefits. And then, it was them.
Oh, yeah. Shocker. By coincidence.
Shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's usually one or two that do the right thing and stand up and say, I don't deserve a raise.
None of you deserve a fucking raise.
Right.
Like, so, seriously. Yeah. What are you... I mean... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do nothing.
Yeah.
So also out of the State House this week was a terrific report from Associated Press reporter Julie Carr Smythe. She put out a piece last fall, which looked at public records, which exposed the fact that John Kasich had been writing abortion restrictions. His office was working directly with the legislators as early as 2011.
Wasn't that Jackie? That was Jackie and Chrissy at the Enquirer that did that one.
No.
I didn't think it was Julie, was it?
It was Julie. So, right. reported that Kasich had been having contact with the members of the legislature who were writing these abortion restrictions way before they ever got to his desk. And he was always like, no, I don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Of course not.
I just sign bills that they send me. Send me.
So it turned out that little lie of his was indeed a lie.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Julie Carr Smythe published a new report looking at public records and found very close correspondence between Ohio Right to Life and Mike DeWine.
Yeah.
Talking about how, Ganadakis was praising DeWine for media saturation. It's incredible, he emailed him. Mm-hmm. And they were asking us a bunch of clips of articles so that we can send them out to their people. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear that Mike Ganadakis gets to talk to Mike DeWine in ways that you and I don't get.
Exactly.
And then when you combine that with the really obvious coordination of effort back in December when they had their shocking announcement about fetal remains. And then Ohio Right to Life had, instantly a press release with quotes.
Graphics.
Yeah, the little graphic.
What was and that, the graphics. Tow truck, somebody probably spent, 4 hours sitting on Photoshop putting a piece together.
That came out 5 minutes after the Attorney General's release. Yeah,
exactly.
Their claim is that none of this was coordinated ahead of time. They had artwork ready.
Yeah.
Well, and we'd seen a co-sponsor memo for two of the three fetal tissue bills a month earlier.
Right.
So we had bills dealing with how you dispose of fetal tissue before in the works month before the Attorney General releases this release. It's supposed to be secret because it's an actual criminal investigation.
Yeah.
Until it gets released. I mean, it's a complete collusion between the legislature, Ohio Right to Life, and the Ohio Attorney General's office. And the fact that Mike Ganadakis can, with a straight face, say to a reporter, well, I didn't know anything beforehand, is complete and total BS. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was great in this is that she says, Ganadakis said there's no coordination between his group and the Attorney General, which he said would be both improper and illegal. Well, that's actually true.
Yeah.
It would that be is improper very true.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You saying there's no connection, that's a load of crap. It would be improper and illegal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think a lot of the public records laws, all of the public records laws, were written back in the day when if you wanted to call somebody, you called from your home phone or your office phone. Because that was it. And then there were solid records of those. And if you wanted to write somebody, it was either sent by mail or by fax. Yeah. And there's a paper copy of that. And in this age, we're still applying these public records laws. Mm-hmm. But, there has got to be some Facebook Messenger conversation, some unrecorded cell phone number to text with, Snapchat. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ohio Right to Life and the AG's office and the Department of Health and the, you know, the governor's staff office, from the governor's office, they all talk a lot.
Yeah.
And they coordinate a lot of things. And none of that is on public records because they've realized how not to get caught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is super clear that they are coordinating like crazy.
Well, I mean, it was clear. I mean, we don't know what the contents of these phone calls were, but when you look at, you know, when I talk to a legislator, even about a really complicated issue, if I'm on the phone with them for more than 15 minutes, there's something bigger going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we did our public records request that kind of, you know, helped with that earlier AP story about the governor's office. There were times where Mike Anadakis' cell phone number, because we had that because of other reasons.
Right.
And we could ask for it. Mike Anadakis' cell phone number was connected to somebody's office number in the Department of Health for 2 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about that you need 2 hours with the general counsel at the Ohio Department of Health when you're Mike Anadakis, president of Ohio Right to Life?
Right.
You know, so it's just, I mean, it's obvious that, and it was really interesting in the newer one too, like they actually did get public records of texts.
Yeah.
That's starting to be something that is included, you know, because some of those conversations were Mike Anadakis texting with DeWine saying, great job. So, you know, some of those texts are also now becoming public record with public officials. So that's a step forward. But yeah, like you said, I mean, Snapchat, they disappear. Right. Yeah. There can be no public record. So, you know, there is so much collusion going on that we just can't see because they are smart enough to know that they need to, you know, do it from a phone number people don't recognize to a private number or, you know, those kinds of things. So
I bet if you could get all the Facebook messages, I bet that's where it is.
Facebook Messenger.
Yeah. Facebook Messenger. It's a new telephone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So terrific story from the AP. We tweeted it, put it on our Facebook page. Everybody should definitely check it out. So there you go.
Surprise, surprise.
Right.
So I'm going to nominate the CDC for the Walk of Shame this week.
No objection.
So yesterday the CDC came out with if you really read it, it's actually kind of reasonable. Like that, like if you're planning on getting pregnant, you should probably watch what you drink. Like, but the way they put it out, it was just if you're not on birth control, ladies, you just shouldn't drink.
Like any woman, anywhere.
Any woman, anywhere. Even me, where there's absolutely no chance of me ever getting pregnant unless I can just, you know, immaculate conception. We talked about earlier. You know, like...
Well, your last name is Miracle.
It is, so, you know. Anything can happen. But yeah, the headline was that, you know, don't drink, women. If you might get pregnant at some point, just don't ever go out and have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of, it's a continuation of all of this stuff we're seeing about the Zika virus in Central America, where they're saying, you know, postpone pregnancy for 2-3 years until we get this virus under control in a country where birth control is illegal and abortion is illegal. So how the freak are these women supposed to postpone pregnancy?
Yeah. And they don't tell the men, don't have sex.
Yeah.
Don't have procreative sex.
Yes.
In these next 2 years, because it could cause, you know, you to have a baby that's going to have really bad birth defects. But of course, the onus is on women. Yeah. Don't get yourself pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just totally feeds into this whole health of, you know, public health concept of women that I've been seeing kind of over the years working in kind of the public health realm around birth control and spacing and those kind of things, is that women before they're pregnant are actually considered pre-pregnant by health officials. Like it's walking around pre-pregnant. You might not want to get pregnant for 10 years, but you're still considered like by these health officials to be pre-pregnant. You could get pregnant at any moment.
Just walking down the town and bam, it happened.
So yeah.
That's terrible.
You know, you're not just a woman, you're a pre-pregnant woman, you're a pregnant woman, or you're a post-pregnant woman. Like, those are the three categories you can exist in the health field.
Just vessels.
Mm-hmm, vessels.
Babies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
Don't put wine in that vessel.
No wine in the vessel. Yeah, it's just another example of, you know, people telling women what to do with their bodies and that you shouldn't have control over it because, you know, and I think there was even a line in there about how, you know, well, alcohol can contribute to, you know, unintended pregnancy too. Like, oh, well, yeah, but again, on both parts. Right. So let's tell men not to drink either, because they can make questionable decisions when they're drunk as well. But yeah. No, we're not going to do that. Just the women don't drink.
Yeah.
Not allowed. Just stop. No more drinks.
Yeah.
Whether you're capable of being pregnant or not.
Yeah. Yeah, the CDC guidelines were so extremely conservative. I mean, it was basically saying that nobody anywhere, you know, I'm sure if you sat down with the person that wrote that, they probably would have said, well, men should never, ever drink at all, ever.
Yeah.
And then just women, you know, should not drink if they're, you know, planning on having kids. So.
That's so weird.
I mean, never, ever, ever. It's like, oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
You know.
That's very extreme.
Mm-hmm. And I'm totally picturing this like CDC person just lighting up a joint afterwards.
Well, and my
those people shouldn't drink.
Yeah.
But like, well, you know, is natural.
And fetal alcohol syndrome is a big deal. I mean, it's a problem. It really can affect people. But again, like, not, I mean, I watch, you know, you sit around and you watch like things like Mad Men and all those things where women smoke and drank all the way through their pregnancy in the 60s. And like, we didn't give birth to an entire generation of babies with fetal alcohol syndrome. Like, so again, like, it's totally random. And it kind of goes back to that whole like drug abuse during pregnancy stuff as well. The whole idea that, you know, you're destroying, even though there's no actual scientific evidence about the effects of these drugs on fetal development or the child once they're born, we've got all these laws against women actually, you know, taking these drugs while, you know, worse laws about, you know, pregnant women taking drugs or, you know, immediately taking away their children because they're taking drugs or any of these hosts of things because, you know, they did something we told them not to do while they were pregnant. And we have more control over you when you're pregnant because we say so.
Yeah.
No, actually not. So, oh, yeah. Yay, CDC. Mm-hmm. Good job. Women, don't get Zynga and don't drink.
Right.
Don't go travel into one of those warm places that you want to go in the Caribbean and
yeah.
Thou shalt not be female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I was about to say it makes more sense to just say don't be a woman because I mean, really. but it's too late for that now.
Well,
it's already happened.
There are things you can do. We learned about that at the Trans Health
Forum. That is true. There are things we can do. That is very true. I think in that case, though, it might make life harder.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Seeing as how you don't actually identify as a man, it probably sucked pretty bad.
That's probably the important part.
Exactly.
I digress.
All right, let's wrap this thing up.
We've now journeyed too far.
And let's get it on. A lot of things going on up in Northern Ohio with Annie. They're having a Youngstown happy hour. Actually, it's tonight. February 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Susie's Dogs and Drafts. That's hot dogs and drafts, which is beer, in case people don't know. Just want to put it out there. 34 North Phelps Street in Youngstown. Capital Care Legal Fundraiser on February 13th at 7, the Davis Building, D's Delightful Art Gallery. I'm so confused with this writing right now. 137 North Michigan Street.
Yes.
And at the same time, they're having an open
mic. No, it is an open mic night.
Oh, okay. It's an open mic night / poetry slam. So that's what the fundraiser is.
Say that address again. I'm talking into the mic when you say it.
Oh, 137 North Michigan Street.
Thank you.
For the Capital Care Legal fundraiser. Soon we're having another Women of Color happy hour Tuesday, February 9th, next Tuesday. And that's when we're going to be working on putting together an op-ed. Cool. Op-ed / LTE to put forth for Black History Month. Soon also we'll be doing a screening of a Romanian film about abortion in Athens on Thursday, March 24th. So a little further away, but just so you know.
Save the date.
Yes, save the date. And yeah, so those are what's happening for now.
You can also join us at the State House at 1:30 on Wednesday in the House chamber for the defunding vote, because we want to try to get as many people in that gallery as possible to make sure those legislators know that we're watching what they do every day.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. We'll see you at the State House, and we'll see you back here next week.
Bye.
Bye.